Trek Companion. This is episode 340. I am your host, Brian Williams.
I am Adam Caesar.
I'm Stephen Embry.
Today, we're going to be discussing the last two episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks, fourth season, The Inner Fight and Old Friends, New Planets.
The Inner Fight, season 4, episode 9, original release date, October 26th, 2023. Directed by Brandon Williams, written by Mike McMahon. Guest cast include Robert Duncan McNeil as Nick Locarno, Eric Biza as Jim, John Curry as Ma'a, Gabriel Ruiz as Talin, Paul Scheer as Andy Billups, Paul F. Tompkins as Breck, and Kerry Walgren as Cosmic and Kalor.
The mysterious vessel attacking ships throughout the season is now attacking former Starfleet officers, and the Cerritos is assigned to locate and protect former cadet and Mariner's classmate, Nick Locarno, who now works as a pilot for hire. With Mariner's recent self-endangerment attitude, Freeman assigns Mariner, Tindy, Talon, and Boimler to a safe buoy repair job near Shabila 5 to keep her out of harm's way.
In the past, Klingons believed humans to be weak and easily defeated, but your species has proved its totuge. Sito was a warrior. You do not honor her.
You didn't know her!
Do you follow every order from your commanders?
No!
Sito made her choice. You want to solve puzzles and mysteries? Your friend gave her life to protect that. She would not approve of your actions.
You're right. She'd say I'm acting like an idiot. A Benach.
Steve, kick us off on The Inner Fight.
All right, The Inner Fight. So we're at the big, essentially two-part season finale with these two episodes, and all that we've been seeing in bits and pieces throughout this season kind of culminate in a number of ways. The most obvious way, of course, is the little ship that's apparently destroying, and we only recently find out is not destroying these ships from a variety of different species across the galaxy and whatnot. And we have this kind of odd plot device to get us to the point of tracking down Nick Locarno, which only, you know, probably on the most part, only hardcore Trekkers even know what that by name, who that is and so forth. And, you know, so we end up on this mission to find him, and there's a number of things going on. We kind of jump into this whole notion of Mariner and her death wish, or her kind of lackadaisical attitude at the very least about her own safety, which we've seen that in her before. It does feel like it just kind of like launches into it abruptly compared to recent episodes. But that's where we are. And then we get some interesting backstory, you know, really digging deep tracks here with Next Gen and Mariner's connection with Nova Squadron and that crew. And yeah, we go from there. I thought it was interesting, you know, the canon and the kind of the deep canon stuff is really fun, what they could do with Next Gen. I enjoyed that. I always enjoyed. I like Ceto Jackson, her arc. That was one of my favorite things with Next Gen. So it's cool they're revisiting that. Like I said, I do think they kind of this really feels like an abrupt, here's the two-part finale compared to what we leading up to it, although they did kind of wrap up a lot of loose ends and such with these episodes.
You know, in a few minutes from now, when we start discussing the next episode, we'll really get into the nitty-gritty of that Next Gen canon stuff, which, you know, the next episode opens with that flashback, which is so wonderful. So we'll save some of that discussion for the next episode. I think it's probably more appropriate there. But I do agree with you. It feels a little bit like, where did this come from? Which is weird because we have heard her be needlessly reckless. Well, like there's a needful reckless.
Right.
Just a couple of lines added to previous episodes probably would have completely smoothed that out. Honestly, even just a line about, I used to have a friend in, you know, Starfleet or something, and we... before hearing the full speech in this episode about Sito, maybe it could have smoothed things out a little bit. But out of context, I mean, it works pretty well, I think. Adam, your first thoughts on The Inner Fight, which we should, of course, mention as usual, or not as usual, but as has often been the case, the title of this episode is a pun, a play on another episode that is pretty fun here. So Adam, what are your first thoughts?
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way you guys are. You know, this has been Mariner's story arc throughout the whole series. You know, the previous season, you know, she had the resolutions, you know, with, you know, being with her mom and her mom resolutions. And, you know, there's always been this kind of conflict within her character that hasn't been fully explained. And I think, I don't know, we'll see what happens when they go through the season five. But I mean, I think we kind of have a pretty clear picture of Mariner's background now, and we understand why she is the way she is. I do kind of agree with you, Brian, that it kind of just kind of feels, this kind of feels out of nowhere. It almost feels like, and this show can get away with it. It's going to attach itself to some, you know, next gen lore. I do remember the first time I watched this episode, I kind of forgot that the timeline, we're not in, you know, Picard, you know, where Picard is in that timeline. So I'm like, God, how could she, would, you know, my thought was, how could she still be in Starfleet with these guys? She would have been like a kid or something. So, I mean, it took me a second to kind of realize, oh yeah, this, cause this is like a couple of years after.
There is a fun little reference though to Picard here at the beginning, you know, when they say we're looking for these, I think it's four different missing ex Starfleet people. And one of them was Seven and one of them was Dr. Crusher. And of course, for the beginning of Picard's season, well, I guess the beginning of Picard season one, we find out where Seven's been, but the beginning of Picard season three, when we find out about Crusher's whereabouts. So that's fun. And it does, of course,
yeah,
very deliberately then place this episode between original Next Gen and mm-hmm. Picard, but.
Which is cool. I mean, you know, we're getting the Starfleet timeline. Obviously we've seen Riker in this series and like Picard is many years after, takes place many years after this. So that's kind of, it's the fun thing where you kind of get to see the timeline here. But yeah, I mean, it was a good episode. We'll jump into, you know, these almost kind of feel like a two-parter. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. We got a lot of backstory into Mariner. You know, we've kind of got all the mystery behind who's been taking these ships and what's kind of going on.
I mean, I do remember just that, those last moments. I mean, I feel like when that scene when they said, oh, we need to find Nick Locarno, at first, I'm like, I didn't even remember the name. And then as soon as I think they say something about the fact that he had been kicked out of Starfleet, or they say something about the that storyline. And then I remember.
Yeah, Ransom.
Yeah, Ransom. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, Nick Locarno. I mean, it was cool. And then when you actually see him at the end and the way he looks, he's obviously become some kind of like a, I don't know, like an Ivy League villain or something. A guy, you know, thinks he's more important than he is, which totally, completely makes sense. That's where he would go. It was pretty damn exciting. And then, of course, the beginning of the next episode we'll discuss. But that was what really, really was so much fun. I like that whole storyline. I like that Mariner confides in the stranger, the Klingon. It works for her character.
Sure.
That entire sequence is fun. Seeing all the different species and nearly working together. So these are like the captains and stuff of those ships. And then they were just marooned there so that the first officers or whoever took over those other ships and made them a part of Nick's new fleet. Was that what happened?
That's what I gather.
Yeah. That's what I kind of want to get to.
Okay. So they're not so evil that they just kill everybody, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that in the next episode too.
Yeah. Yeah. The not Blaylock puppet. That's a funny gag. Funny, yeah. I feel like you spend that whole scene waiting to see what the gag is going to be. So I guess we've now established in canon that is a species. And so Blaylock was like,
a real
purposely emulating what that species looks like, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah.
And assuming really that matter, most people wouldn't realize that he was actually really super short. And that would make him look less intimidating, maybe.
That whole storyline was a fun gag. I mean, it was the amusing part of the story, you know, like even I was asking, like, why are they showing up with their Starfleet? You know, they're showing up to this criminal planet and, you know, lawlessness, and they have to follow all these rules.
It has a good payoff because you really think, gosh, I've thought Freeman was smarter than this. Yep, she was actually. It's completely unexpected that the bounty hunter was Billups. He's like almost the last person you would pick. I like his little line about, it's really hot and stuffy wearing these helmets or something. What is this episode about?
Well, this episode is, I mean, it's really a character development of Mariner. So part of that is like, you can't just hold everything in and act out, or eventually you or somebody around you will get hurt. You know, it also says that, you know, once you kind of you know, the theory is once you kind of get this off your chest and you start talking about it and you start feeling your emotions, like what she did with the Klingon in the tree cave, that you're able to realize it and start healing. So it's, to me, it's kind of like coming to grips with your past pains, past, you know, traumas, getting them out there and moving on.
Yeah, I think like so often in kind of finales and action oriented episodes, it's hard to kind of it's more difficult to, you know, coalesce it into some idea, you know. But yeah, if anything, the focus is on Mariner, and maybe we got here abruptly, but they definitely use that to, like as you described, Adam, the whole notion of you can't just keep it in and try to, you know, fight through, and you eventually have to talk about things and understand why you are the way you are, why you feel the way you feel.
Cool. So pretty solid episode. Let's do 6 degrees for the inner fight. Steve, Robert Duncan McNeil reprises his role as Nick Locarno. He last played that role in what? Season five episode of Next Gen.
First duty?
Yes, sir. The first duty. Steve has one. Moving on.
Old Friends, New Planets, Season 4, Episode 10. Original release date, November 2nd, 2023. Directed by Bob Suarez, written by Mae Dorman. Guest cast include Shannon Phil as Cito Jaxa, Robert Duncan McNeil as Nick Locarno, Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher, Eric Bauza as Jeef, Phil Lamar as Alonzo Freeman, Jessica McKenna as Barnes, Nolan North as Livick, Gabriel Ruiz as Talin, Paul Scheer as Andy Billups, Carl Tart as Kayshawn, Paul F. Tompkins as Maglimo, Carrie Walgren as Baeth, and Ariel Winter as Derica Tindy.
Locarno broadcasts from the Detron system, where he has gathered the mutinous crews of the stolen ships to form a new Nova fleet, with plans to use a Genesis device to threaten Starfleet and others into recognizing their legitimacy. Locarno, believing Mariner would join them after kidnapping her, she instead warns the viewers that Locarno is untrustworthy, steals the device, and hijacks the ship.
The Federation, the Klingon Empire, the Romulan Empire, everyone has to respect Nova Fleet. Speaking of, I have an officer here who knows how to speak truth to power. Beckett, care to tell them what Starfleet's really like?
Hey! What up, everyone? I have an important message for all you lower deckers out there. This guy sucks!
What?
He's an idiot and his plan is stupid. He's gonna get you all killed because he only cares about himself!
Somebody stop her! End that transmission!
Atta girl.
Adam, kick us off on Old Friends, New Planets.
All right, so we jump right into this. You know, we have the flashback with Mariner going back to this Next Gen episode, which Steve said the episode name earlier. You know, we see, what is her name? Is it
Cito.
Mm-hmm. Cito. Yeah. We see Wesley, you know, and it kind of just takes you right back to that episode, the trial episode when Picard defending.
Technically, this is like right before that episode. Am I right? It feels like it must have happened like right before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. He was going through being expelled from school. There was a school trial. That's what it was. So it was kind of the beginning. Wasn't that episode? It happened at the beginning of the episode, or what, did he come in after it happened? I don't know. Anyway, so we go in this episode.
Something like that.
In this episode, we're seeing, you know, the planning of it. Locarno, he's, you know, talking his group into it. And so it's kind of cool to go back there and see those characters again and go back to that episode, the Next Gen thing. And obviously we see a very young Mariner Beckett, who's kind of the junior member of this group, the groupie, if you will. You know, she's obviously a very, very young, probably freshman Starfleet officer. So it's fun to see that background with a character, especially Mariner, who's, you know, I kind of still feel like Boimler and Mariner are the leads of this show. I would almost even give it a little bit more to Mariner as being the lead of this show. So it's good after four seasons, we kind of get a complete view of what her background is. So I really enjoyed that part of the episode. Obviously, we get into the, you know, we have the Genesis device. So there's numerous references to the Wrath of Khan in this episode. We get some of the similar music.
It's literally the same, I think.
Yeah. We get the
Nebula.
The Nebula. They're even similar shots. I mean, the cleverness of Lower Decks is that, you know, they kind of reverse the roles. Nick is the kind of, in this scenario, the Enterprise chasing Mariner, who's the Reliant, and you know, so yeah, it's a fun episode. It's satisfying as from character development standpoints, learning about Mariner, and you know, just the fun references to the Wrath of Khan, and obviously the kind of the B part of the story is Tendi, and then you know, that'll go into season five. You know, we'll probably get a whole lot more about Tendi and her world and her background and her relationship with her family and her sister. So that from that aspect, I'm really looking forward to season five.
Steve, your first thoughts?
I enjoyed this. As always, what they do best are all these references and quick fire, fun, you know, this is made for people like us, right? I mean, all these things, we catch the majority of these references, and we think about it, not many would, you know, right? I mean, there's a lot of people out there, but as far as the percentages of people who view this, I don't know. I don't know if they catch all these different references, but it's huge. It spans such a great amount of time. And you alluded in the last discussion to what they're talking about at the beginning of this with the, you know, 13 years ago, the first duty, this thing. And, you know, I really enjoyed that arc on Next Gen in a way, because, you know, all the best Wesley Crusher stuff was after Wesley left the ship, you know, right? Yep. And then they we think about how, you know, Cito Jackson was in two episodes, you know, and I felt such a connection to that story. I remember that being one of them, you know, whatever happened to her, thinking about that, did she really die in that one that episode that happened later? All these kinds of things. And it's so nice that they came back to this, you know. And in a way, I was reflecting on how this is, of course, just the tail end of last calendar year. And what a calendar year we had for Trek with all of the, you know, Picard season three, which, you know, we've gone on about. And this season, you know, if this isn't Picard season three, sure, you know, but it's in its own way, it's so nice for long-term Trek fans to see all these references. You feel relevant. You get all these nuggets, and they pick up all these loose threads and roll with them. And it's a lot of fun. I just thought this was a lot of fun.
It looks exactly like Tom Paris.
Yeah, and that's pretty hilarious too. Yeah,
they went back to it again, man. Went back
yeah,
to it twice.
It's the second time. No, I don't see it. I mean, it's like it definitely made me laugh out loud both times. That was so funny. And you know, it's another good example. You know, like where if you get that joke, great. But if you don't, like I told you guys, my girl loves this show, loves it. She watches it on repeat. She just plays it over and over and over. She didn't get that joke. Doesn't harm her in her love of the show in any way. You know,
you only lose like 2 seconds of your life, right? I mean,
not even that, right?
And you know what? It's still, they went back to the riverboat. You know, we talked about this weeks ago, how ridiculous that is. And it would not work. I don't think that would work in any other show ever made, but they went back to it again, and I'm still laughing.
Well, it's the fun because the look on Freeman's face, she's like, why does this work? She's like so annoyed. I like, and then of course I like the joke that he and Rutherford are back to being like mortal enemies at the end of the episode. I like that they don't waste any time. Like Mariner, we don't have like Mariner considering joining him even for a second. She's immediately like, this guy sucks. She takes the Genesis device and runs. You know, I love that. I love that. There's no bull crap. There's no wasted time in this episode. We know who these characters are, you know. But yeah, that opening sequence, I mean, it was just like, I've talked about this before, but occasionally there's these moments that are so amazing that I remember pausing it and explaining it to my fiance. I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. This flashback deserves, because it's so much deeper and more meta when you think about it. Like, wait a minute, this was like the part one of, you know, Cito, that was Lower Decks, you know. It's so great, it's so smart and clever. And these two episodes, they're so like Star Trek, the fun good Star Trek. Like we've all watched Star Trek 2 a billion times, and I'm sure we'll watch it a billion more times in our lives. It never gets old, and it's just fun. And this takes the fun parts from there and gives that sort of thing to us. You know what I mean? Like, it's just good, and it's just fun to watch. And it's got the right amount of nostalgia stuff, but it's got plenty of great new stuff. You made a joke about that they referenced their own Mark Twain bit. That wasn't like, not really. That doesn't really reference Time Zero. That just references the other episode of Lower Decks, right, where they went to the, you know, they were all Mark Twains. That's not 30-year-old, 40-year-old nostalgia. It's just good and so, so clever. I just couldn't believe it. I was like beside myself with how clever the story and how bold it was to bring back Nick Locarno and Cedar. Like, I think she's stopped acting, if I read this correctly. Like, she hasn't acted in a long time. They found her and she was great. She's a couple lines, but that's all you need. I think this is the first time we ever saw the guy that dies, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have any lines though, did he, or did he? I don't remember.
He did early. Yes, he did.
He did here? Yeah. Oh yeah, even like Nick Locarno, like modern day like Nick Locarno, villain Nick Locarno, like he's got that like emblem or symbol on his jacket that's like the, you know, it's the Starburst thing from First Duty, you know?
Well, Brian, I didn't even think about, you know, the Picard references. You were mentioning it in the last episode. And if we look back at this last season of Picard, you know, a lot of Picard's relationships were tied up in that season, you know, the conflicts and that kind of thing. And if I remember correctly, Sito's death, didn't that really shook him, if I'm not mistaken correctly, right? Isn't there like a scene where he's just sitting by himself in the ready rooms, and that's kind of like the last shot of that episode or something? I remember him being broken up about Sito's.
Yeah, no, it definitely did.
So, I mean, you know, and that's where in this Lower Decks, they kind of resolve that character in there. So that's, you know, I didn't think about that, Brian. So that's clever too, that they can kind of intermingle these two shows that were on at similar times.
And they gave her death a little bit more meaning, you know, between especially the last episode with Mariner, and you know, no, it's good. And if you have all that stuff, then it makes for if you have all that knowledge, then it makes for a richer understanding of the storyline and appreciation of just how damn clever they are. But you don't have to have that. It totally works for people that haven't seen that. Totally.
And threading that needle, like that, we kind of take for granted how hard that's got to be, but it's crazy how hard that is to fit all that into such brief episodes too, and make it something meaningful and coherent. You know,
I don't know if the show has won writing awards, but it should.
I could see somebody making the argument that Picard season 3 requires too much. I mean, not too much, I shouldn't say that, but to enjoy it the way, you know, that it requires you to have been along for the ride for decades, especially some of the later episodes, maybe when they really push the nostalgia button. But I don't think you can say that about Lower Decks. I really don't. I think it stands alone, and it's like you said, it threads that needle really well. It's just good. And you know, we take for granted, but the performances are all really good. I love these characters. I've really grown to love them, but especially Mariner.
And they don't neglect any of the primary four, really. I mean, obviously, when they focus on, you know, they wrap up this season, but you still have, you have Boimler in the captain's chair. You have Rutherford with his nemesis. You got Tindy carrying over into the next season. So they're not like just leaving someone behind. They've taken all these characters with them.
Yeah, that Captain Boimler stuff. Captain Bradward Boimler, that brief little bit, that's pretty great.
I know there's like, we'll see to land more.
Right, yeah. I like her too.
Yeah, she makes the decision to stay.
Well, she'll probably get a little bit more next season.
I like, it was the previous episode where she had a line like, because the captain asked them to keep Mariner safe or whatever, and they gave her the busy mission. When they admit to Mariner what happened when they're on the planet, her line was something like, the captain ordered us to keep you out of danger. And she's a Vulcan saying that line, and I couldn't help but hear Spock say, ship out of danger.
You know? Another one that made me laugh out loud when Boimler was sleeping and he rolls over, teach me to tap dance,
Beverly Crusher. Yeah, day to day.
Talking about Talyn, I also enjoyed in the first episode when Mariner's saying something about, you know, bring it. And she said, perhaps we should find shelter before anything is brought.
What was the other one? Yeah, when she took out, I could have taken out that Cardassian. I'm sure you would have tried.
Yeah. Pretty great. All right. So a stellar ending to season 4. Great two-parter. Very satisfying. Oh, even a little bit of a hint, you know, I'm curious to see if in season 5 they'll take back up this storyline about Locarno's DNA being on that planet or something. What can they do there?
Perhaps.
Genesis? So
maybe we'll get a Tom Paris visit to the planet.
We have Tom Paris be like, I don't see it. And what is this episode about?
It's a season ender. So obviously they're wrapping up a lot of storylines, but I kind of think the general gist of it is like when you stick to your values and the people that you care about, your team, your family, you know, I think this kind of, you know, it works out, but I mean, it's kind of a generic kind of feeling in this. Obviously, you know, you got Tendi who's loyal, you know, she sacrifices her life on the Cerritos to, you know, help save Mariner, and she's got to go back to her home world. We see the captain here. I mean, she's really risking her career by breaking these orders, and, you know, she almost loses her ship. So a lot of it, you know, I guess you could kind of go back to the old saying that maybe this episode was like, the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many. And so that's kind of how I see this episode.
Yeah, as often is the case, you know, the big, huge finales are hard to nail down with the core theme, but they do all play to their strengths and sacrifice themselves for the greater good as it goes. And in that sense, stay true to themselves as well. And so I think, again, this is just a marvelous job of juggling all those notions and keeping it coherent and interesting and fun and still making for solid Trek.
All right, let's do 6 degrees for old friends, new planets. Adam, Shannon Phil reprises her role as Cito Jaxa. She last played that role in what? Season 7 Next Gen episode from 1994.
What was the name?
You're going to really kick yourself if you don't get this one.
I'm just be pulling something out of my butt, so I'll go ahead and give it to Mr. Steve.
Is it Lower Decks?
Yep.
Funny.
That's why this show is called Lower Decks. All right, Steve takes it for the day. And that concludes Lower Decks Season 4.
Season 5 coming out at the end of the year, have they announced?
I assume it's going to be August timeframe, like the last couple seasons. I mean, it's officially coming. We know it's all in post. What we haven't heard is if this might be the last season. So, I don't know.
Then they do a movie.
Well, you know, we got Discovery. They decided to end after 5 seasons. And this will be Lower Decks 5th season. I hope they don't. I mean, obviously, I'd like to get more than 50 episodes.
At least get the traditional 7.
Well, I mean, you say that, but think about the last time the show had 7.
That's only 10 episodes a season.
Here's your trivia. What was the last time it was an episode?
Well, they only did it 3 times.
Yeah.
Next Gen, DS9, Voyager.
Over 20 years ago now.
Because those were all together, we kind of thought that was the new paradigm, but clearly it wasn't.
Right.
Because nothing's done that since.
Yeah, we'll see.
But obviously, if there is a show that could do it, I mean, because it's, I mean, as far as like production costs go, I'm not saying it's cheap to make, but it's
cheaper, for certainly. And the costs each season can't be going up the way they do for.
I'm guessing it's cheaper to pay actors to do voice work than actual thing showing up on set.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's less time. I assume they knock an episode out in a few hours, if that. Yeah, probably a few hours, right?
The voice actor? Yeah, I would assume so.
It's not 8 or 9 days, which is what Strange New Worlds takes to shoot an episode. All right. We're going to be back in 3 weeks, not 2, so that we can start discussing the first 2 episodes of Discovery's 5th season. And then we'll be on every 2 weeks to discuss the next 2 episodes. We're going to effectively do Discovery live. So we'll be experiencing them for the first time, right along with you, our lovely listeners. That'll be fun. That'll be exciting, finishing out not just the season, but the series, Discovery. When was the last time we knew we were finishing a new Star Trek series? That's been a while.
Picard.
Yeah, that's true. Picard. That was so weird, though. It felt like 1 season plus 2 seasons of some other show. There wasn't like that weight of all these seasons coming to an end, because season 3 was so disparate from the first 2, for me anyway.
Right.
So the way to watch Picard, they need to put together like maybe a 10-minute trailer of the first 2 seasons, and then you can just watch the third
season. Well, and on top of that, of course, we'd already had so many final journeys for the Next Gen crew. They've still not officially said if the Starfleet Academy show is in the Discovery time frame, but again, I'm assuming it is because they haven't said. Hey, folks, if Discovery was getting great ratings, it wouldn't be ending it. Sorry.
Have you watched the trailer yet?
No, I probably won't.
I mean, it looks fantastic. What's the one thing that I can say about Discovery is it looks incredible.
Absolutely. I've always thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've used it to show off. Anyway, I've always thought that. you know, when you watch Picard season three, it looks good, but you're like, they spent the money on the actors. You watch Discovery and it's like, this looks like a freaking feature. You know, it's amazing. Yeah, so that'll be fun. I am looking forward to that. We haven't done, we did something. We did, I think we did Discovery season four live. Was that the only time we've done that?
I believe so.
I don't know. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And until next time, in 3 weeks, you can send us an email, trekcompanion@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is @trekcompanion. Thank you so much for spending a half an hour with us. And until next time, take it easy.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Stefan, I passed it.